and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebupule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Hey, just before the episode, this is a quick reminder to say if you're hearing this, it means you are not yet a subscriber of the Stretch Podcast. We don't run adverts on the Stretch Podcast. Our focus is on giving great conversations with equally great guests. So our income for the podcast is directly from you, the listener, you, the subscriber. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. In the meantime, you will get a partial episode. We trust that you will love it enough to subscribe. Hey, hey, Dumelang, Dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebupule, your host, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today I am in conversation with Dr. Paulo Marumo, who is an investor, medical doctor by profession, and a new but pretty close friend of mine. So I'm going to tell you how I met him first, and then I'm going to tell you what we covered in the conversation, and then I'm going to read his bio, and then I'm going to give you the conversation in that order, okay? So I've always known of Dr. Paulo Marumo because I've always known of Tsoga Africa Investments. Tsoga Africa Investment was co-founded by him and a very good friend of mine, Dr. Zakes Mutene. So I know Dr. Zakes Mutene quite well, and we go way back. And also, Dr. Zakes was my student at Stretch School for the years 2017. He was one of the first students, 2017 and 2018. And so I've gotten to know him quite well. We are also fellow authors. And I mean, you know, he's someone that I really, really revere. So I've always known that there is a Paulo Marumo who has co-founded Tsoga Africa. But I met him in person for the first time last year, around this time, I think in March. I had attended Saki Sizwe's event somewhere in Midrand. And Paulo was a speaker there because they are partners in a way. They've amalgamated in the insurance part of things with Saki Sizwe. And so I met them with his lovely wife, Figile, Dr. Figile Mabena. She's also a doctor. And that evening, which was for me supposed to be very brief, I was going to attend, hang out with Slindile for a little bit and leave. But no, it didn't happen like that. We ended up, I think, leaving about 12, you know, after having, you know, attended an event that started at 5, you know, and we left the venue, I think, around midnight or something. Dr. Fiile Mabena, Paulo's wife, is the one who took me to the place that I was staying at my daughter's house, my daughter's apartment in Midrand. So we became very fast friends very quickly. And then because we are in investments together and they've known of Fallpeak, you know, I've been in conversation and in touch with Dr. Paulo quite extensively, so much so that he was also a guest at our AGM, our last AGM, Fallpeak AGM. We invited him as a guest, which is something we do each AGM at Fallpeak. We invite a guest speaker to remind us why is it that we are doing this stock fell, which is why you're going to love this conversation, by the way. So we invite a speaker to remind us why we are doing this. And then we also invite a peer, you know, because Tsoga Africa is our peer in that we are doing the same thing. We started around the same time. Maybe we are, you know, approaching things slightly differently, but the point is we are walking parallel to each other. So we invite a peer to share challenges, experiences, opportunities, and you know, and maybe opportunities to collaborate in some, you know, deals and so on. So he was the peer guest, and he mesmerized our shareholders as usual. And so we really talk quite often, because we are trying to do something as Volpic with Tsoga Africa. So that's how I know him. And in the conversation, guys, you know, this might be a long intro, but it has to be, because this is a very important conversation. It's about economic freedom. You know, one of the reasons that I am still part of Volpic and I agreed to create, to be part of Volpic, is because I understood that the economic freedom, or the getting Black people out of poverty, is not going to be done politically. That's not their game. The politics play a completely different game, but the economic game has to take all of us. And, you know, I'm going to say something that might just, you know, some might just sound weird, but I feel, and especially after this conversation with Ballo, I feel like Stokvels, more than Stokvels, the Stokvels like Tsoga Africa, the Stokvels like Volpic, like Saki Sizwe, are one of those vehicles that are similar to that our exodus out of poverty. So I want to use the metaphor of the Israelites leaving Egypt, and I'm sorry to mention the Israelites because of that whole Gaza Strip thing, but you know, that is a mythical biblical story, and it applies in this case. When the Israelites left Egypt, they walked through the wilderness and they faced many challenges, and I mean, it's really hard. But they eventually reached Canaan. And there were many that never reached it. You know, some of the leaders, like Moses himself, did not reach Canaan, but they were part of the journey. So I feel like with Stokvels, which is something that is quintessentially Black, it's a Black thing. And you'll hear when Ballo speaks of that in Kenya, it's a very, very formal thing, and they do it well in trade Stokvels. But I know for a fact that if you are around my generation or slightly younger, you know of someone in your family, either your mother, your grandmother, your aunties, or even you, belong to some Stokvels, some Godiswano of some sort. So it's something that's in us. It's something that we understand. The society, umgalelo, guys, you know, it's something that we know and we understand. And I feel that that could be our exodus out of poverty. While the politics are doing their thing, we come together and we put money together and we use the only thing that we have right now, which is what? It's numbers. We have numbers. Black people have numbers. And when you have numbers, whether you're a domestic worker earning 6,000 a month, or you are in middle management earning 40,000 a month, the point is, if you both put 500 rands into some kitty, such as Volpic or Tsoga Africa or Saki Sizwe, you are contributing to a larger thing. So my appeal to you is that whether you listen to the entire conversation or you are in the partial, when you are done listening, go to a Stokvel that you trust, that appeals to you, and join them. Or if you have the stomach and the stamina, please start a Stokvel, especially you guys who have followers on social media. Volpic was started with Facebook followers and friends. Do you understand how miraculous that is? For Volpic to still be standing 8 years later with no real scandal. And I say real scandal because obviously internal things detail. But by and large, it's a standing organization so strong that we are actually now hiring. We are hiring. We are going to have a full-time person in office. You know, so join a Stokvel and develop the stamina to be in a long game. One of the things that we always hammer at our AGMs, that I always hammer to the shareholders of Volpic, is that do not look at your contribution as chelita hao, Don't look at it that way. Look at it as I own part of a company. I have a share and I'm worth so much and the company is worth so much. Don't look at it in rand value, in chelete ya gago, the 10K that you put in or the 30K or the 60K that you put in. And this is the psyche that we need to outgrow. One of the things that Paulo says in the conversation, a phrase that I love so much, he says, the whole thing of economic empowerment, the whole thing of getting out of poverty is a psycho-socio-economic problem, in that order. So it starts with the psyche. So the psyche of collectiveness is something that we need to bring back, but not like our parents who used to hodisana for groceries at December or for the money to just circulate. It's the same amount, it's all high bill interest, it's just circulating, it's survivalist. To see it as a vehicle to get us out of poverty for the sake of our children. So the mentality and the psyche has to be that of a long gamer. We need to get into long game mentality and building mentality. We need to be Moseses. Now I know we are playing a Moses role. Because one day when these stock fells amalgamate 40 years later, and for the first time in South Africa there's a black bank, which is an amalgamation of NYB, I don't know why I always mixed up those acronyms. You know the mutual bank company, they actually have the mutual bank license now, Ntabeleng's Stokvel, Volpik, Soga Africa, Saki Sizwe combine and start the first bank. I might not be here or I might be in my 80s, but the point is I am very, very clear that I'm Moses in this case. Does that mean what, I'm not going to make money? No, not really. I mean, there's dividends along the way. Of course, there's manna from heaven. That's what manna from heaven was for, to get something along the way so that you don't starve. But the goal is Canaan. The goal is not to eat the manna and save it and put it in the fridge. You remember, if you remember the biblical story, manna nesab, you know, you'd have to eat it that day and finish it. And you need to take enough for the day. If you store it, it will have maggots the next day. Yeah, I know I'm preaching now. But the point is, Stokvels could be that exodus that take black people out of poverty. Only if we come together and understand that this is a 100-year journey. This is not about 5,000 yahao. This is really, really serious. Okay, enough about my thoughts on the conversation. Now I'm going to read Dr. Paulo's bio, and then I'm going to give you the conversation. I'm not going to tell you what we covered. You want to listen to what we covered. But I know that Paulo will grab you from hello. And may the conversation stretch your heart, stretch your psyche, move you enough to listen to the whole conversation, to subscribe to the whole conversation first, and move you enough to start Googling Bosaki Sizwe, Googling Tsoga Africa, Googling Volpik, and inquiring as to how do you join. And just to punt Volpik a little bit, very soon we will be advertising, announcing the Volpik 2. We are starting over again, recruiting or calling for new investors under the banner of Volpik 2, because we are solid now, solid as a rock. Now it's time to turn that money into a return and to build an organization. Okay, now let me read Paulo's bio. It's a little long, so I'm going to read it because it's quite impressive. Dr. Paulo, problem solver Marumo, is a managing director at Tsoga Africa Insurance Brokers. He qualified as a medical doctor in 1998 and worked in various hospitals until he joined the military in 2004. That is 1 mil, for those of you who know. You know 1 mil, that hospital that was like creme de la creme. During his stint in the military, Paulo was recruited into the prestigious Presidential Medical Unit in 2007, where he was appointed as the resident commander for the ground medical team of the late President Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela. So he was Mandela's doctor. I know he's saying team this, team that. He was Mandela's doctor. He served in the team until the late president's passing in 2013. His selfless service in Mandela's team earned him one of the greatest honors, the Nelson Mandela Gold Medal in 2014. Palo is also the co-founder of Tsoga Africa Investment Holding and a non-executive director at the People's Fund. You'll remember the People's Fund. We had Luyanda Jafta as a guest here on the podcast. Please also listen to that conversation. He also chairs projects committee at Calidras Investment Primary Cooperative. I know Calidras, it's also a group of doctors mainly and other professionals. It's a very big stock fell as well. They have a lot of money, these ones. Calidras, we need to talk, friends. We need to talk. In the past years, he also served as an advisory committee member of the People's Stockfell, CFI, a collective of 3,000 members. Balo is a strong believer in the power of cooperative economics and holds a firm view that a country can turn its fortunes around in just one decade. And those are the sentiments that I hold. You will also see Palo's Facebook handle on the show notes there, and Tsoga Africa's website, and some of his contact details. I've put his email address there in case you want to get in touch. Now, without further ado, I give you my conversation with Dr. Palo Marumo. Dr. Palo Marumo is in the house. Welcome to the Stretch Podcast, my friend. Thank you for allowing us to talk to you.
Much appreciated. I know we've been planning this for a while, but we're finally doing it, so I'm happy.
Yeah, no, thank you. I am trying to be very serious, and it's very hard to be serious with you. You make me laugh. I mean, you're one of those people, probably my top 10 of people who make me laugh, which is a good thing.
So, do
you think, Corey, you know, you chose the wrong profession at some point?
Lebo, now that you're asking, nobody has ever asked me that. I think you're right. And I'm still planning on it. Before I hit 60, I should have explored some of these things that I've always known. Man, I've got this thing in me. Mm. But, you know, because the growing up this way and not having so many opportunities and not having access to some of the things. But, you know, the world is changing, and I think it would be good to explore some of this. I would love to have a podcast on my own, and I'll be helped and assisted by you to set it up. And I think it's going to be the biggest thing. So, yeah.
But now I was vying towards stand-up comedy. Did you never, ever want to
That's exactly what I'm talking about, but stand-up comedy with a theme. That's where I will be interviewing on, you know, day-to-day things that have to do with medicine, but with a comedy twist to it.
Oh my God. Because, I mean, you know, for the listener's sake, Palo has this thing of impersonating. You do impersonations very well. Liddy voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when you came to our AGM, when we had chillers in the evening. I think I couldn't sit still the way we were rolling.
That was lovely. So
anyway, welcome to the Stretch Podcast, Debatong, Dr. Palo, and it's 2024 now. How is the year for you so far, for you, the family, and everybody? How do you feel? How does it feel for you?
You know, my year starts in September, the African calendar, but to bring it closer to the question, there's always this hype, this freshness, this looking forward to this year that is starting every January. And I think we all do that thing of looking back to say, what could have I done better last year? What areas of improvement? And so on. And the same has happened to me. And I'm at a point where obviously you are plateauing at my age, and you are about to start that, downward slope. So I think age-wise, it's one of those where you realize that I've got probably only 10 and a bit of productive life, and I have to now crank up a little bit. and things that I've been working on have to now, go to greater heights. So
Yeah.
that's where we are, as the company, in my personal space as well,
Yeah.
spiritually. You are wanting to find those answers that you've been putting on the back burner. I still haven't gotten. So to go find my grandfather's home where he was born, and all of those beautiful things. So that's the plan for this year.
That's nice. On the note of growing older, I'm a January baby, so I turned, oh my God, I can't even say this number. I turned 48 now in January, and there's something, man, about the years going by that it's almost like you get shaken by spirit to say, "Hey, man, hey, what the hell are you doing?" I actually now understand why people get into midlife crisis. Lucky for you and I, these later ages, which is not really that old, by the way, are finding us in the middle of doing the things that we truly want to do. I know you're a doctor by profession, but you are now a kick-ass investor, which is the topic of the day, really, and an entrepreneur, and you are on a spiritual path of some sort. But there's something about growing older that says to you, this shit is serious, you know. You better get it. So at least that's what it is for me. So I always thank God. I get stuck somewhere where I don't want to be, and the trappings can be real. Can you imagine at 48 in a corporate setup with a particular lifestyle? How do you even turn that ship around, you know, if you realize, well, it's not what you wanted to do? So yeah, those are my thoughts about growing older. How old are you? I know you. We are the same WhatsApp group.
I'm turning half century this year, and I think it's one of those years. I think, like you were saying, between 45 and 55, that's when midlife crisis, mid-love crisis. That's when all those things happen. And I think it's just natural. We're not the first. We are first at the personal level, but it happens to all people. There's some people who gets hit by this at what 28, 35, because of certain things that are peculiar to them. But for the majority of us, it's between 45 and 55. You notice that people realize that I am running out of time, and when the craziness happens, that's when people change careers. That's when all of these things happen. So for me, I've always known there's always been that, and I think you don't do things because this is how they're done and this is how they've been done all these years. You wanting to find reason, why do I do this and why do we do it this way? And the fact that it's been done like this for 100 years does not necessarily mean that it's the right thing. So you start questioning and you're more curious, and because you don't just don't want to live, you don't want to exist. You want to really live a purposeful life and meaningful life, I get. So
And I must say they are the best years, to be quite honest. After 45, I did feel myself like, I mean, not a village elder, but I think I can add some value in people's lives. I think I can at least something I keep swearing that I can give. So it's also the best years of our lives, I think. You know, it's not all gloom and doom. It's not downhill from here.
people like you who are gifted and who are, have a calling, you've been doing this way before 48. I mean, come on. So, yeah. And there's people like me who will only wake up at 50 and realize, hey, there's a lot more there than just living and, just taking kids to school and, paying the bills. No, there's much, especially if we're not trailing behind by 400 years. And there's much more that we have to do. And that's how I talk to my kids and how we talk to our kids at home. Even go to a point where I tell them that, guys, when I say speak Sesotho, I'm not bored. People died here. It's not play this thing. People
That's
died real death.
day. Yes, real day.
1976, those kids never to exist again. Dying for you, for lekhono puo ya bolona, really mo country yalo. So but then you find where you're getting more and more conscious of those things. And when Haralwana Lasesotho were at my kids' school like we are now, It is important because it's a matter of national importance. And we met with the CEO, just my one, Rubuagana Ntuna Hore. Lebato, Councillor Ng, Ali Councillor Fun Fun or Fun Walk, you are not cancelling a movie night. Le Councillor Language, one of the 11 official, High Spanish song.
Wow.
And those are that I think at this age, because you know, there's younger parents, we have a spread of kids between grade 2 and varsity. So you have seen the journey, you've been through the journey. And you realize, well, there's younger parents who are 32, who are, you know, late 30s, who are not inducted into the schooling environment the way you are, not because you are clever, but because you've just been there longer. So it's important that they take a cue from you and you understand for Luena, as they were 48. Personal responsibility, you've been there for more than 10 years. Né? So that's basically, yeah, the story of my life right now.
Oh my God, this is so nice. I mean, we can go on the language trail in Jayaba podcast on its own because it's something of interest to me, especially having moved to an Afrikaans and Xhosa space. So I'm going to put a pin on it. We'll talk about it privately.
Yeah, we have to
talk more about language. So, Palo, you are an MD or a general manager or a chairperson. I don't know what you are. I know you're an all-rounder, Kotsoha Africa, which we'll talk about towards the end because I want you to really just tell us what Tsoha Africa is. But the purpose of my conversation with you is about the concept of Stokvels in the 21st century. And why I chose you is because you are a doctor by profession. And why is that important? It's because the doctor, according to Nadine Lichele, why on earth would a whole doctor or a group of doctors, for that matter, decide to get into a Stokvel? So you'll talk to that as well. But let's talk about the bigger umbrella first, Yahori. Why do we need Stokvels in 2024?
Thank you for the question, Lebo. I think, Oruna, I'll just give you just a 30-second history on why we started and how we started. It was myself and my good business partner, friend, Dr. Zex Mutine, and we were trying to see how things work. You know, you've just gotten out of the concentration camp that is called medical school, and you're working, and you know, all excited. But a few years into this thing, we realized, for the man, there's a lot more that we need to do. And judging from the school that we went to, there's 300 to 400 of us leaving the school every year. And when you look, the very next month, for December, do the oath taking, January, 80% of those people have cars, even without getting that first pay slip, because the funders know that you are an asset, you, Lebopule, Dr. Lebopule.
Yeah.
So everyone has got a car, and everyone has got this and that, because they can show a pay slip. Then, fast forward 2 years later, everyone has got a townhouse because, you know, that's just how it works. So we realized, well, there's 200,000 rents times 400 cars. If, I mean, 400 people, that's a lot of money. All those people have consumed insurance. All those people consumed data. So why we then started Tsoha was on the back of that to say, you know, you can open your GP practice, then live well, take kids to school, and, one international or two international holidays and two African holidays every year. But there's more that we should be doing. There is paying back that we need to do, and not just the so-called black tax. There's work that we need to continue that was started way back. And if we don't, then who? So when we then broached this subject to the members, well, our current shareholders and members, it was just there to say, within us, the skills, expertise, and experience over the last few years that we've been working in different areas as doctors. But the main thing was that if we poured into the same calabash, raised a bit of money, and get into those impenetrable, very elusive spaces, financial services sector, retail, and we're not talking about just opening a restaurant, but getting into the proper mainstream. But that will only happen if we have clout, because that's the only power.
Yeah.
So the members understood that Because kind of need it, if each one of us is spending 5 to 10,000 rands on insurance a month, you can imagine it's, well, it's R1 million, well, maybe more, of money that we spend. So that's how we started. And I think for me, when you juxtapose our setup to your likes of Kenya, where they do this very well and they've been doing it for many years, you realize, sorry, the reason we're not like Kenya in this collective ownership and collective wealth creation space is simply because of our history, where you were subdued and you couldn't do things. But Kenya, you will realize, sorry, 50 plus, way over 50% of it works on the so-called SACCOS, savings and credit cooperatives. And these are very, very strong bodies that people collectively own. They loan themselves money, they bank together, they bury themselves, they buy groceries in December together. And this is now upwards of 100,000 people in some of the cooperatives there. Here, Rona, we have stock firms. They do have things called shamas, which are more informal, but the circles are formal. Here we've got stock firms, and the cooperatives will be the formal ones now. So in South Africa right now, we've got 800,000 stock firms. And in those stock firms, you're talking about 12 million people in the stock firms. That's what, 20% of the population? That's a hell of a lot of people. So, wa utlwisisa hantlentle, we are the market, we are the business, and ma utlwisisi power e o nang le yona. You are not going to do anything about that. So our job in the last 8 years has been to partner with stock firms. And I separated them into two. There's old age stock firms and there's modern age stock firms. And the old stock firms were survivalist in nature, were instant gratification oriented, where but now what you see in the modern day stock firms, you see there's mixed LSMs. You find a CEO of a company or a DG in government in the same stock firm with Alstina, who's a domestic worker, and Prasipho is a driver. And you'll see that at the AGM, this room is full of a mix of people from different LSMs. And that's what we never used to have, because it would be stock firms, Alstina and other domestic workers, Prasipho, the drivers, and the prison warders one side, doctors one side. And I think that's another thing that was classist, that was causing us not to progress. So I did not belong to any stock firm, I must say, much as I'm a social being, until Tsoga was formed. So it's actually the first stock firm that I belong to, which I co-founded, and there's 110 of us in Tsoga. And the biggest that I belong to is the People's Stock Firm, which is over 3,000 members, all in the last 5 years that we managed to grow to 3,000 members. So I think therein lies the magic. Ya o nka dintho tse e leng hore ntse di re escape re di tlisetse haufinyana le rona. And you speak differently, you get received differently when you knock on that door that you wouldn't have been able to open on your own, o le lebopule, much as o le diva. Mara, ha o tla o le lebopule wa se se fikile stock fair. No, that door opens, you pick cappuccino pot there for you. What do you like, ma'am? Coffee, tea? So that's what we've seen over the last 8 years, that you sit with people that you only ever saw on tea, because on a little cloud and on a little value as a collective. So that's why I think now for me, it's very important. That's why when a stock firm sets up or a cooperative sets up and they say, hey, would you mind helping us? I belong to seven, like I said. I don't know if I mentioned already, I belong to seven stock firms. Or should I say collective groups, because the People's Stock Firm is a CFI, cooperative financial institution. It's a mini bank. There's 3,000. I belong to YWBN, that now just received their mutual bank license. And it's not a small thing. So I own a few banks where Nale, Scania. So I own a few banks. Midrand Cooperative Bank, right here in Midrand, is also a registered CFI now. And I own a piece of that. So that's what we do, me and my family. We belong to these things because we feel it's important, and all of us should. And I think one of the things that makes us not to get into these structures is because Lebo only understands things that start from 10,000 a month. And therein lies a problem. It is
Yeah.
just 100 rand that is required. 50
That's
even.
100 rand.
20 rand even. It is not
Really?
the quantum of the money per person. It is in the collective that is pouring into this calabash. And the smaller the number, the bigger you grow and
Oh.
faster, and everybody is welcome. So that's what I think the significance of stock fails for me is. And I think as you have these things, as you have these stock fails, and then they coalesce
Yeah.
at a point over the next 5 to 10 years between now and 2030. You can understand where I'm going with this. Because it just takes one shout out by Lebo Pule that we follow, that we love very much, to say, guys, 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 now it's time.
Yeah.
And then we meet in one room, and then, okay, Jonong, Retobula shop about grocery
Yeah.
store, and we are going to roll it out throughout the country. Marie, 50,000, 150,000 in that. That's where I think the magic is at. And I think that's the splitting of dividends of 500 million and Eyakoba Tumba by 6, 7, 8. When it could be split by, a thousand people,
50,000 people.
maybe 50,000 people. And now we're talking generational wealth there. It doesn't
Yeah.
stop you from doing what you're doing, Mar. This stop, and I'm not talking about things that are theoretical or hypothetical. We had a shop in Soweto at Mi in Middle Point.
Yeah.
The initiative came about with our business partners, Bo Sebo Ho, Bo Tshepo Moloi, Bo Palesa. We opened a shop there, first off in the country that was owned by a collective of people. I think that was for me, that was a big win until July 2021 looting came. But the shop set up, it was a Jimmy's Killer, Jimmy's Fish and Chips, and each 15,000 rands. And then the shop opens. And it was like, what a wow. And then it started selling fish and chips. And then, of course, we are posting. And then when our Spanako Barra is there, you make sure that your AA and functions are there. And that's why I think it's important, because 135 of us in there are ambassadors and representatives of this shop. If when you take your AA and function there, I take a farewell function, yeah, mama. Then the shop works, and you spread it to all the friends. And it went on
Absolutely.
beautifully. And I think the main thing and why I was talking about the 100 rands and not 10,000 is that Lebo has been doing potato farming for a long, long time. In fact, that's how she's known. So it's easier for that shop to take Lebo's potatoes to make the fries. You see what I mean? And it comes from an oil making family. It's our oil that is going to fry the chips in there. We talk to the franchise bro. Our oil ticks the specs, and Luena the specs that our franchise bro are ticked. Then there's no reason why we should be looking for oil ele it's one on the other side of the highway. One to actually. So, and that's how you fix the country slowly, because you can't do big. You have to start this way. And then the next shop opens in Tembisa, and then the next one opens in Mamelodi, Kanjalo nje. But it is important to make sure that the people in Mamelodi have a sense of ownership in this shop. Even if the founders are there, Mara, the people in there must have, so that Lebo and Abai, they continue the same thing. So for me, that's why it's important. And that's why I do this.
What a beautiful and long answer. And you've also answered questions that I had. But I'm glad you went there because then we can at least deepen. So
Yeah.
here's the thing, but look, y'all understand. One of my questions was, where are we going with this? We mentioned earlier as we started the conversation, for we are, when are you turning 50 something? You're turning 50, I'm 48. Seduze phambili. And the chances are, you and I may not even see that bank. And from that mentality, which I think it's a lot of people's mentality, yeah, instant gratification. How do we overcome that? Because a lot of black people, I mean, we are black, we are not used to long things. We are not used to long games, you know. And I'm saying this because when you started Soha, we started Fallpick. There were a few others. I think I remember at some point counting 10 Stokvels that started at 2016, like all of us. I know Tsoha is still standing. Fallpick is still very much standing. There's one other, Yateka Teka, but you know, they're learning. You know, they went too fast, too quick, too big, too public. when we took on, I remember when Volpic started, we decided we're going to be conservative. And the management decision at the time was, let's work with what we have right now and solidify it. At some point, we will grow. We are at the point of growth now. But anyway, back to my question, which is, a lot of people got out of Stokvels, including your Stokvel, including Batho ba Volpic, because it was a 5,000. I want my money back. How do we overcome that mentality? And how do we teach the millennials and the young people for it? It's a long game, bro. This is a big, big journey. This is a 100-year journey.
Thank you for putting it that way. It's a 100-year journey. In fact, I remember at some point, it was a few years ago, I told Dr. Zakes, I said, Zakes, for every 10 years that passed, it takes 50 to 100 years to fix that 10 years. And Negibuaga 10 years, for every 10 years that it's a mammoth task to fix that. It takes 50 to 100 years. He says, no way. I remember him a few years later coming back to me and say, yeah, no, Musha, you were right. We're talking about your 1948 to 1958 to 1968 to 1978. For every 10 years that passed, and that's what I was referring to, apartheid did a lot of destruction and damage. Damage that is generational. So, to a point when you say, Paulo, but people are used to instant gratification and gimmicky type of things, and then they just follow, it is not surprising. You expect that. And that's unfortunate. Mara, because me and you have immersed ourselves in the space of collective ownership and collective wealth creation, which I think is the last piece of ammunition that sets in shame. If you think about it, Haunantengwe, they probably could take you and make you look good and all toilet dipilonyana say fiunyana. Mario, 1 out of 55 million, it doesn't help us. So the main thing is we take everyone with us. And I think that's where the magic, like the secret sauce is at.
Did you love the episode? If you'd like to listen to more, you know what to do. You'd simply have to subscribe. The subscription link is on all of my social media bio. It is also on the show notes right here on this episode and all the other episodes' show notes. You simply click on the link and you follow the process, and we will see you on the other side. For now, I wish you love and all green lights, as always.